Right, this is the only warning you're going to get. If you're in a small space, if you're in your car or a small room, I really suggest you open the windows, because you're going to have a rocking large time talking about and listening to a wonderful album from Mr. Alvin Lee. Alvin.
Hey, how you doing, UK Bob?
I am hanging upside down, ready to rock and roll in any direction that we can as soon as we get you spinning. And I'm very glad to have you on the phone.
Thanks very much. Good to be here, mate.
So, we got to get the jokes out of the way, because you were indisposed the other week. And Mr. Page suggested that you did your back in bending over to pick up one of his licks.
No, I did my back in trying to grab one back that he stole from me.
Ah, good answer. Good answer. Joe Brown told you that one, I'll bet. That's funny. I don't know why I thought of him. I haven't seen Joe. It was about 4 years ago. I'm with Donald Gallagher at the Irish Embassy opening celebration for the Lord Mayor of London. And there's Joe standing in the room with all the dignitaries, which of course includes him. But for whatever reason, he was sanctioned to entertain everybody during sandwiches, which I just thought was very funny.
Oh, he gets all the good gigs. Yeah, Joe's probably my best friend. He comes over and visits me quite a lot in Spain, and I go and we play on each other's albums and stuff. He's a great guy. Fully all-round instrumentalist, plays guitar, mandolin, banjo, fiddle, piano, accordion. He's a clever chap.
I know, I've seen him. Rice, paper and comb, you name it.
That's right, yeah. And his jokes are brilliant too.
No, he is, sir.
I went to see him, I took my daughter to see him, and he did this show, and he said, this is the kind of song my mate Alvin Lee who's here tonight does. And he started off going, dun, 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 and he sang, well, I woke up this morning, and then he stopped and said, bloody liar, he doesn't get up till 3:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, that's typical. Oh, well, yeah. What are you going to do? You can't argue with him. He's too quick.
No, he's too quick. He's far too quick, yeah.
Anyway, nice job on this lovely album. Still on the road to Freeman. And I keep saying
that. I'm still on it, mate. I haven't got there yet, but I'm still on it.
Well, it's one of those things that the more you let it spin, the more you understand the mix and why things are laid out the way they are, because it all makes sense. And so many people today are grabbing music on the run, and they want instant gratification and understanding of what they're listening to, and they might miss some of the subtleties that are buried in here. But I have to ask the question, when you basically are retreading something from 73 74, this album cover, is it even remotely in the same place as the album cover you did with Myron?
No, but it looks similar, doesn't it?
It does.
It's similar colours and a similar vibe, yeah. No, that's a few miles back into the Campo from where I live.
Oh, I wondered about that, because I thought, well, it's possible.
It's a long run. The long road to Speedon runs right from England right through to Spain and right around the world. Do you know that?
No, I didn't.
It does.
Anyway, it's kind of cool, because you actually have to stop and think, well, it could be, considering the time that's passed and the way that the world changes. But I tell you what I like. You know, I guess this is, to me, is more personal than Sagittar, the last solo, which is, what, 4 years ago. But it still has the signature of feel of the things that you write and the way that you play, not just your you know, instantly recognizable voice, but there's lots of variation and style, and it still conjures up a tapestry, which to me is always the magic of a whole album.
Ooh, tapestry, I like that. Thank you very much. Very nice. I'll quote you on that.
Hang on, are you going to make notes? Scribble.
Have you heard my latest history. Yeah, there you go.
Well, hang on a minute. I think we better check copyright with Carole King.
That's all right. She got there first.
Anyway, no, it's just a lovely blend because it does cover so many different things.
Like it turned out, I mean, it kind of evolved the way it was because I had 33 songs written and I started recording them all at once. You know, I tried to bring them all along, but you never know which one. Some of them get better, some of them get worse. But it was just far too many. You know, it took me like 2 hours to listen to all my songs. So what I eventually did, I boiled it down to like my favourite 15, which were most likely to succeed, and started working on them. And then I realised that practically every influence through my life, through the rock and roll, through the blues, through the classical, through the flamenco, is all kind of there. And strangely enough, it was in pretty much in the order it's in now. And I think, you know, as an album, it works as an entity. If you start with the first track and play through to the last track, it's like a little time warp trip. And I never intended that, but I realised after I put the songs together, I thought, ooh, this is a time warp album, okay, going through all my influences. So it was just a happy accident, basically.
But you see, that's the purity of it. That's the blessing of the way things fall into place. There's some number of times things like that happen to me. While I might be sitting here, I'm relatively unstructured. All I've got in front of me for sure is whoever my guest is this week and a kind of a barrel of music that I might feel like playing, but I don't have a set list. And it's amazing the number of times certain songs actually throw themselves into place. I've just talked about something and there it is in the line of the song. And I say, well, it wasn't just pure coincidence. It goes that way. You just don't realize it at the time. And as George would say, you know, in this case, you've sorted out the walking order correctly, you know?
The walking order, yeah. Well remembered.
But it is, and I think it's very good that the way that comes out. But it must have been...
It's all about magic moments, really, the whole thing about creating music, writing songs, recording it, is that the special times, those magic moments where I sit down on my guitar and suddenly a song seems to come out of nowhere and I think, where did that come from? You know, that was... It's almost like you just reach up and grab them out of the ether because I don't know where they come from.
Do you think that's what Perry Como did?
I doubt it. Maybe what Bert Bacharach did.
No. You got me in that direction on magic moments, but it does. It's the way
didn't
it just
see
creeps
the connection.
In. No, I know. That's all right. I am. There we go.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. That's a good rock and roll there, mate.
I'm here to hold your hand. Don't worry. Now, look, you have to explain to me how and why it all came about. Is one of the track we're going to play next, how you got Ian on drums.
Oh, that's right. Well, we used to jam. We used to have a band called The Gits in the kind of late 70s. Early 70s. That's right, no. In fact, even the early 70s, very early 70s. I mean, it's just a jam in the studio. It was Ian Wallace on the drums and myself, Tim Hinkley on the keyboards, Boz Burrell from Bad Company on bass and Ian Wallace on the drums. And we called ourselves The Gits and we had lots of fun. We never released anything. But, of course, I've got all these drum rhythms and I had this song, which I thought I wanted it kind of sound modern and kind of... what I call hip blues, or what's the other one? Blue hop, I don't know. But I just found this track and I stuck it onto the song. It's just got about like just 6-bar break of his beat and stuck it on the song and it fit perfectly and it was just, it made the song what it is.
So it was just a sample that you had back from there?
That's right, yes. Mm.
To me, it's got this groovy echo, and is it Alex Wolf?
Plays the Hammond organ.
Yeah, he brings in this very subtle woof sound at certain beats, just like
That's the good old cranked up Hammond, cranked up to 11. That's the that's when they start to sound good.
Oh yeah, but it's like you're starting to feel like the hover, and then it just comes in and goes out, and comes in and goes out. And the other beautiful thing about it, it's a perfect short song, and there aren't enough of them around. They're very, very useful, certainly in radio, because not everything has to be, you know, between 4.2 and 5 minutes long. And this one runs out great.
I was one of the instigators of that. I was one of the instigators of the 10-minute guitar solo. But you know, these days I never timed any of these songs. It's funny because it just seemed right to me. It seemed like the right length. And then when I'd finally finished the album and I was doing the cover, I said, "Oh, I better time the songs," and realised it was like vinyl length. It just seemed right to me, you know. All the songs fit; they were in the right order, and you know, I didn't want to change that. So, it's a vinyl album; it could easily fit on an LP.
Yeah, well, you see, there's nothing wrong with that, you know what? Because I mean, that lasted brilliantly for 40 odd years, and sometimes, you know, you can overkill and you can spoil something. And but to me,
it does happen, doesn't it? These days, you get like an 80-minute CD, and you say, "God, it's a bit too much sometimes."
Well, I'm guilty of the same mistake. When I make something, I think, "All right, that turned out. I got the best three tracks of that one." I'm collecting things together. I go, "Oh, look, I've got 20, 30 minutes left on the disc. What shall I do?" Well, you don't actually have to do anything. You can leave it at that, and it's too tempting to say, "Oh, what a waste of space," but it's not. You see, in your case, it's absolutely best left exactly the way it is. I don't honestly think anybody would notice.
Hardly anybody had. Nobody's complained, actually, strangely enough.
Wait a minute. That depends who's handling the...
Oh, dear, it's a bit shorter than I thought. Everybody's going to complain it's not long enough. But nobody has.
It depends who's handling the complaints department.
That's right. Well, I always give a wrong telephone number for the complaints department anyway.
You know, this sounds like a cut from an episode of Morecambe and Wise. You know, the only program where, looking backwards, I never noticed that there was anything wrong with two men sitting in bed together. But he'd lean across, say, "How many plays you in today, Ern?" "Only 7. "Oh, you're slipping, you know."
Yeah.
Right, we're gonna have some music. So those of you that are cruising down the highways and byways, it is a relatively cooler morning, thank God, because it has been too steamy for a while. But you're going to have some nice weather today, and traffic's not so bad. Plenty of room, not any big accidents that I've heard about. But if you've just jumped in, you're listening to Alvin Lee live from Spain, and we're talking about this cool new album of his called Still on the Road to Freedom. And lots of different eclectic sounds, rock and roll, blues, all kinds of stuff, wonderfully patched, worked into an exotic tapestry, which is the word of the day. Anybody who wants to call in and find out, word of the day is tapestry. Okay, so. And we're going to play something that he denies it, but I believe he wrote specifically for WRFG because it says, "Listen to your radio station," and that's what you all must do. So no knob twiddling, all right? It's very important that you carry it. Isn't that right, Alvin?
Especially room for you, mate.
Right. Hang on to your hollyhocks. Open your sliding roof. Get out your air guitar, because here we go.
Coolest music across the nation. Dana Gillespie from London, England, to tell you about the second best way to wake up. Just tune in to UK Bob and his Good Morning Blues show and feel good for 4 hours on WRFG Atlanta.
Well, what a groovy sound that was. And
there you go.
Yeah, nice job, mate. Nice job.
Listen to your radio station, coolest music across the nation. All good stuff and all for free. Must be cool if they're playing me.
Oh, gosh. You know, it was like the way that song on Sagittarius stood out. And I don't have it in front of me. I'm just reminiscing my brain, you know, the rap piece, which actually, once you'd heard it and once you got it, you kind of said, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. Yes, it does stick out because it's supposed to, but... It was kind of, I had that kind of effect, the way that beat came in, but it's just that swirling organ sort of wrapped its arms around you and off you go.
There you go, mate. Yeah, right. I mean, I like it. And the words, they mean something to me because, you know, I'm a firm believer in listening to the radio. So many people these days, they've got their iPhones and they kind of, unless they reload them every week, they're listening to the same music over and over again. And the beauty of the radio is you hear stuff you've never heard before. And that's I think that's very healthy.
Well, that is the key of the program that we do here. And when you think about it, if this show has been going since 1972, it's the only daily drive time blues program in America. And that's a huge shame. And we get a lot of listeners listening on the internet in Europe because they don't have to get up till the crack of 1 o'clock, you know. And it's just fun because all the feedback you get is exactly that. Thank you for being there to play us music and bring us artists that we probably wouldn't otherwise get to hear because of this stale, homogenized American radio situation. And that's what Good Morning Blues is really all about.
Yeah, doing a good job, mate. You keep it up. Right. We've got to educate the masses.
Right, send a note to my boss so when I take a day off next week, I'll get... It's all right, Alvin said it's okay.
Right. That's all right.
I did that the other week. Something happened somewhere and someone looked at me seriously and said, well, Bob, you're late. And I just started shuffling, putting my hands inside my inside jacket pockets. I said, hang on, I've got a note from me mum somewhere, right? And I think I pulled out some scribble of paper and started turning it around and upside down. And they're looking at me. And I was trying to be dead serious, but I couldn't give it up. But, you know, she's 88 and she would write me a note in a heartbeat. And she would write something very eloquent with a very good reason as to why I was late, like a horse fell on my car or, you know, something equally good.
Yeah. Sorry, Robert was late today. It was my fault. Shots.
Oh my gosh! So, how is the wonderful Evie?
The wonderful Evie is as wonderful as always.
Well, God knows why she puts up with you, but apparently she's a bit of a photographer.
Either, but I'm not complaining.
She's a bit of a photographer then.
Well, she's not really. I just I said we need an album cover. Here's a camera. Come and take a picture of me.
Well, it's I love the. I almost said purple haze, and I said, no, I don't want to go down that road. But there's this misty purplish...
Haze in the mountains, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. I know. I mean, and it's very cool because it's not grey, and grey is what you get most other places. So
we don't get much grey in Spain, mate.
No, that's a good place to be. I was in Edinburgh last week and driving on the... what's it? The A? No, it's not the A.
On the wrong side of the road?
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, I'm always on the wrong side of the road. I get blamed for all kinds of things. But from Edinburgh to Glasgow, I can't think of the name of the town. There's a very strange thing on the right-hand side, these pyramids by the Motorola Industrial Park that they covered in grass over the last year or two. And you start rubbing your eyes because it's raining like it always is in Scotland because, you think, well, there's something on the windshield of my glasses because things are moving. It's like looking through a microscope. And, you know, it's still happening and you at first you can't figure out what it is. There are sheep running around these pyramids that have been sprayed with green paint. So you kind of can't see them, but you can. It's very disturbing. You know, this is what Scotch will do to you, you know.
Sounds like a psychedelic sheep farm.
No, it is very exotic, but One of the things that that I like about all these changes is I actually had to look at the content for the album as to who did what and where, and you came up with a set of symbols, not CY.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You had to work through the code and find out what was what, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, oh, God, he's making me work for a living again. Look, I've got to sit and decipher all this.
It took me 4 years to make the album.
Absolutely. It was like, okay, and he must be proud of it because he's dedicated two sides to this legend of explanation. But actually, when you consider the number of people playing and the rotation on each song, it probably was the only way that you could make it clear without having tons of print information in there.
Well, yeah, the thing is, some of the songs I played guitar, bass, sang, played harmonica, and even played drums on a couple of tracks, and nobody wants to read, like this song with Alvin Lee guitar, Alvin Lee vocals, Alvin Lee harmonica, Alvin Lee bass. I mean, that's just silly. So I just write it the once and put a little sign as to which song I'm on.
Yeah, well,
doing what? You could work it out, didn't you? Worked it out.
Exactly. Yeah. See, I had to actually plug in.
Anybody can work it out.
Exactly. If I can, anyone can. It was fun actually plugging it in and going, okay, what's he up to here? I said he's discovered a new button on his computer with different symbols on, and he's just messing around with us. But anyway.
Funny enough, I first did that on the 10 Years After album, Stoned Henge, and I used. We used funny signs to do the same thing, and I put WM, was it W, where marked with a WMWA after everything, and nobody could understand what that meant. It meant where marked with a.
Ah, okay. Of course, okay. It would be a Windows Media Archive or something like that. But you were light years ahead.
Oh yeah, well it's all there in your computer, mate. You just got to look for it.
So the only explanation that I haven't figured out for myself is why the part two on track 13. For those that actually bother to listen to the whole album, you find this hidden track.
That's why that's a hidden track, yeah.
Okay, is this?
It's not very well hidden now you've mentioned it, Bob.
No, it is, because everybody that listens to this program has already signed off under national security, you see, so they've all been blessed by the Pope, and they've all...
It's just a bit of fun. I mean, some people notice it straight away. Other people played it. The lady, Tony Franklin, runs my website. She liked the album so much, she played it about six times in a row, and as soon as the Love Like a Man finished, she took it off and played it again. And she didn't find the hidden track till much later in the day. And that's the fun part of it, really. It's just like a little surprise bonus.
So you're just messing about. There's no... it's not one of these things where if I call Sharon and say, oi, if I play this backwards, is Ozzy going to jump out from a curtain and bite a bat or something? There's no subliminal...
No jumping out. It's just if you play it backwards, you get the answers to the universe.
Ah, well, there you go. Which is why... Ah, so the Germans are running things then. I was starting to get that impression that there are some people who find that they just... You have to have an answer. There has to be an answer. It can't just be because it was a bit of fun, that's the way it is. And I had this scene in my mind of a Charlie Drake sketch where that guy leans over the counter and grabs him by the lapels and lifts him off the ground as if to say, you are going to tell me, you know.
Hello, my darlings.
Hello, my darlings. Let's kick in and play Nice and Easy. This is the one that I said, I felt like you were sitting out in Texas hanging out with J.J. Cale. And one of the lovely things about this shuffle is the ending. We talked about this, about Sagittar. So many of the tracks had an ending, an actual ending.
That's right. Yeah? I like endings.
Yeah. I like endings too. So, I like
them fading into the sunset. It's all very well, but I like a good ending.
I love happy endings.
There you go.
So we'll see. That's a point. I can't answer that question myself. I've played this many times, and I don't actually know. I know it has an ending, a proper, abrupt, dead ending. Is it a happy one? I'm going to let the audience decide.
That's right. Decide for yourselves.
All right. So if you can all pick up your phones now and dial *911 and plug in your answer to the question to the Alvin Lee track 9 called Nice and Easy off the album Still on the Road to Freedom. Do you consider this a happy ending? And we'll see how many votes we get.
There you go.
Better do it nice and easy. That'll be alright with me. Don't make it all too sleazy. Do it naturally. Just take it nice and easy. If you wanna be my friend, don't let it get too speedy till we reach the end. If you're gonna do it, well, you better do it right. Better do it nice and easy. That'll be alright with me. Don't make it all too sleazy. Just let it be. Just take it nice and easy. If you wanna be my friend, don't let it get too speedy till we reach the end. If you're gonna do it, well, you better do it right. Well, you better do it right, oh yeah. Better take it nice and easy. If you wanna be my friend, don't let it get too speedy till we reach the end. Just take it nice and easy. That'll be alright by me. Don't make it all too easy, do it naturally.
Hi, this is Solomon Burke, and I'm riding the blues train on Radio Free Georgia. Soul sounds, rhythm and blues, everything you want to know about the news. It's on the soul train tonight, the blues train.
Well, the blues train is coming into the station, and we've been on this very exotic ride with Mr. Alvin Lee, who is chatting with us from Spain. Those of you that are late, bring a note from your mum, otherwise you will not get to hear a replay of this show this morning. So, Alvin, you were having fun with that particular track. I can almost see you shifting cheeks on your stool. Well, not an image.
Shift.
Yeah, not an image that I really want to share with too many people, but only my special people.
I like to play standing up, Bob, so I'm afraid that image doesn't
work. God, I blew it again. Oh, well. But anyway, it's just got this great groove to it, you know.
I'm a big fan of J.J. Cale's, and that one definitely has a Bradley's Barn feeling to it, which is where J.J. records in his own studio. And he's just great because he plays so little, you know. And I'm kind of famous in my past for playing a lot. Captain Speedfingers and all that business. And I appreciate the other end of the scale. In fact, I played a J.J. Cale song the other day, and I've got this gadget in the studio where I can take any one instrument out of the mix. So I took his guitar out of the mix, and I said, I'm going to play the guitar solo on this J.J. Cale song. I'm going to play less notes than he does, right? So I did my solo and then listened back. And by the time I'd played, I'd played about six notes, he'd only played two.
Well, you see, that's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes the quality of something is the space between the notes, you know, and it's very hard to describe.
A lot of the beauty is hanging on to the note and getting the tone out of it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, lovely job. Sorry to keep you on the phone for a while this morning, but it's always a blast to have you on and talk about the music and why and wherefore and have a good laugh at the same time. But it's certainly been a pleasure, as always, to have you tell us directly about the sources and, you know, why things are the way they are. So then when people hold the album, they will think very differently about it as to, you know, what's inside there and why it's there and the meaning of life and anything else, you know, the hidden Monty...
Meaning of life, yeah, exactly, yes.
The hidden Monty Python track on number 13. So what's next? Are you going to do a duets album?
No plans. I never have any plans. I'm just writing songs again now. I've got about 20 songs left over from my last writing thing. But although they may show up as bonus tracks and stuff like that later on, I tend to prefer to for a new album. I tend to write new songs. Get the inspiration for the moment, if you know what I mean.
Well, it's funny because, as always, when the circle comes around and it's a new Alvin album, and I get into a conversation with people who ask me, well, you know, why doesn't he do this and why doesn't he do that? And it's like, okay, you don't get it. Read the title of the album. I would do things exactly the way you do if I were fortunate enough to be remotely talented in that position. And I said, you don't understand, I don't think, why he doesn't do X, Y, Z. It's not because he doesn't have this. He doesn't want to. He wants the freedom to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it and make it all a reality and a passion, not something that he's driven to do or coerced to do. And I think...
That's right. Yeah, well, I'm glad you see it. I mean, I think the worst thing is these people who think to sit down and say, we've got to make a new album, so what do people want right now? And try and, you know, to me, the music's got to come from your soul. It's got to come... It's got to evolve. It's got to grow within you. And that's the road to freedom. That's the road to freedom that I took many years ago. Get away from being Captain Speedfingers, the fastest guitarist in the West, and just play music that I feel that comes to me naturally.
Well, everyone that I've had this discussion with goes away thinking, oh, what a chump I was. I didn't understand, and now I do. I seem to be able to convey to them, you know, you schmuck, don't you get it? That's the whole point, is having the choice and not having to go to market and appease people and deliver and just let it, you know, sprout naturally.
I find one of the saddest things I see is like musicians, artists who they don't progress. They just become like cardboard cutouts of themselves. It's almost like a cartoon character, you know. They do the same songs they've always done. They don't progress anywhere. They find a formula and stick to it, and I find that very sad.
It is, and you know what? The majority of people with good ears can see through that, and so they don't follow it. And let's face it, how many artists and songs in the last 20 years were huge and forgotten in 90 days?
Yeah, well, that happens. But, you know, the thing I find it quite amusing, you see some of these heavy metal bands these days. I mean, these guys are in the 60s. They've still got really long hair and with leather jackets with badges on and leather trousers and cowboy boots. And it's funny, you look at the picture and you take the hair and the clothes away and you could see this guy sitting in the laundrette down the road, you know. It's looks like somebody's granddad.
Yeah, they do take it away because none of it's real. It's all glued on, you know. I mean, they're still living in the past.
They're still playing the same thing they were playing 40 years ago.
Yeah, I know. So good for you, leading the charge.
Yeah, we shouldn't knock them.
No, I'm just glad that I'm standing right behind you flying the flag going, go on, Alvin, I get it.
Thanks for getting it. And most people have got it, which is great. I'm really pleased. Because I am proud of the album. I mean, I like it myself. I mean, it's one of the few albums I actually play it myself when I'm in the right mood. I stick it on and it cheers me up.
Well, it will. I mean, you've got to have a sense of accomplishment at the end of it all. And I think, you know, if I was in that position, I'd get a chill going, phew, blimey, you know, I did that. And it's exactly what I wanted to do, not what somebody else wanted me to do.
Yeah, I did that, yes. That's funny, that reminds me, you know, when I did the Newport Jazz Festival, 10 years after, we were the first band to play the Newport Jazz Festival, and I was standing looking at the poster, and it said, like, 10 years after on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side it was Miles Davis. And there's only Miles Davis standing right next to me looking at the poster, and he points at his name and said, that's me. So I pointed at 10 years after and said, that's me.
And somewhere...
And we said to each other,
somewhere somebody would have a very magical photograph if they happened to be there at the time.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Best description of Miles Davis. Looks like a spent match.
Yeah, well, he's a pretty clever spent match.
Yes, he was indeed. As are you, sir. So thank you for taking
thank
the time.
Thank you very much, Bob. As are you.
And it's been lovely to have a chat, and hopefully that there'll be no more... Jimmy Page lick jokes, and you're
no
all...
No more Jimmy Page jokes. No, you just keep up with playing good music and making that tapestry that you do so well.
Oh, we're going to use this one, aren't we? Oh, dear, that'll be fun. Anyway, brilliant. Thanks so much for coming in and chatting on Good Morning Blues this morning. It's always a pleasure. Wonderful job on the album, and we shall wait and see what else comes out of the creative brain over the next period of time, which naturally oozes in through your fingers and creates something worth waiting for, right?
Thank you very much. There's another one all on its way, and thank you for the opportunity of playing the music and give my love to Stone Mountain.
Yeah, Stoned Mountain as it is today. That's all right. All right. hang tight. I'll be right back.
After all the lights go down on Bourbon, dancing girls are walking home alone. People chasing midnight toward the river, drinking up the night before it's gone. About the time the streets all hosed and shining, after all the monkey bars are closed, pour a little bloodshot in my coffee.